You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
Last week, 12 people, their lives were changed forever, eternally. Someone invited them to church. And then 6 children said yes to Jesus, and their lives were changed forever. I don't think that there are too many better ways that we can show love to a neighbor than to invite them to church. And when we show them the love of Christ and how they can grow in Christ. And how many of you would agree with me that what is important to Jesus should be important to us? Because what's important to Jesus is important to the Father. And when we go to Scripture, we find that in the life of Christ, in his ministry, people were always asking questions to Jesus. And some of the questions were, they were intended to trick him. But a lot of the questions that people asked, they were legitimate concerns. And we're going to start out the series with a question that was asked of Jesus, partly to trick him, and then partly it was a concern that I think everybody has. Don't we want to know what is the most important thing? God gives us, he gives us commandments, right? And they're not recommendations. They're the way that we should live. It's God's way, and God's way is the best way. So in Matthew chapter 22, if you got your Bible, you can go to the outline. In Matthew 22, in verse 36, we see a question that is asked of Jesus. And we're going to read these next four verses, 36 through 40. And the question is this: Teacher, which is the most important? Which is the most important? Kind of sit there for a little bit. What is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? What is the most important thing that we should be doing? Well, we're going to go there. Thank you. You guys are scholars. Praise the Lord. Jesus replied, he said, "You must love the Lord, your God." How many of you say, "He's my God"? We take ownership of that. You must love the Lord, your God, with some of your heart, with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Now think about it. The heart is our emotions. The soul encompasses every part of us, and the mind is the way that we think. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. That's where we're at right now. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. But there's a second one that is equally important. Think with me. When something is equal, it's right in the same place. And the second that is equally important is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is threefold right there. Love God, love people, but you also got to love yourself. You got to receive the love of God. You have to say, "Lord, thank you. I'm not defined by my past. I'm defined by what you've done for me." God loves you, but he wants for you to also love what he's made, what he's created in you. And so when you do that, then you're able to love people that are around you. And then he goes on in verse 40, "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So it teaches us that if we get these two right, everything else will work out. If we can land here, and this is our aim, everything else will work out. If we can live our life reciprocating the love of God, receiving it and reciprocating it back to him, but also back to others, we'll be in a good place in our lives. And so with that, that's going to be the foundational text that we will be using for the whole series, because it's the most important thing. Amen? So we're going to devote ourselves to that. We're going to prioritize that. We're going to say, Lord God, lead us in this four-part series so that we can act it out, so we can live it out, Lord God, so that we won't just be hearers of the word, but we'll actually be doers of the word. And here's what you need to know. You will be challenged. You will be tested to love people that you might not love without the help of God. People that you really don't want to have I really don't know if I want to associate with these people. Well, here's what you need to know. God wants you to. God wants you to love them. I'll never forget this thing that happened. So my wife and I, we were at, I think, Sam's Club, and we went to Sam's, and we went by this aisle. And there was a sale on these things of Spam, right? Spam. Everybody's laughing. I wonder why. And so aloha. You're from Hawaii. You're like, yeah, woohoo, steak. So we go by this aisle, and my wife, I'll never forget, she says, oh, I love Spam. My dad used to make Spam for me when I was a kid. I said, oh, awesome. So she got the thing of Spam, and we took it home. She said, I love Spam. She got up the next morning, and she said, I'm going to make some fried Spam. She cut the Spam, cooked it up, fried it up real nice and crispy, took a bite of the Spam, and she said, I don't like Spam. And that's how we are with our neighbors. I love my neighbor. I love the people in my neighborhood. I love the people in my neighborhood. In my neighborhood. In my neighborhood. And then you come to the place and you say, I don't even like people. Right? You ever been there? You know, you're a pastor. You know, you're a pastor. You love people. You go home and you say, I don't even think I like people. But we're called to love. We're called to treat people with dignity, with respect, with acceptance. Everybody. Because that's what Jesus did. That was his heart. That was his character. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 13. And this is very important to us to see. Because the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and everybody always points back to love your neighbor. They always point back to that. Why do you think that all the apostles always pointed back to love your neighbor? Why would you say that? Because it's the most important thing. The most important thing is to love God and love people. So let's read in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Here's what Paul says. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. Just hit your neighbor right there. Whoever's sitting by you, say, do you love me, right? You love me. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Why is Paul saying that? Because Jesus said it, right? If you hold on to these two commandments, you're fulfilling God's law. Paul says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. Verse 9, for the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. We need to just let that sink in. If you allow the love of God to permeate your life and your heart, you will walk in the goodness of God. You'll treat people the way they need to be treated. You'll treat yourself the way you need to be treated, because you'll be walking in the love of God, right? Verse 11, this is all the more urgent. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 10. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Verse 11, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And you need to know that you're one day closer to Jesus coming. Today, you're one day closer to Jesus' return. Today, you're one day closer, even if Jesus doesn't return, you're one day closer to your destiny. And that's at one out of one. We're all going to go see Papa. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. John says, woo-hoo-hoo. Right? The night, verse 12, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. How many of us put dirty clothes in the laundry basket? How many of us take that off and we say, we're not going to wear that until we clean it? We should be taking those dirty deeds, those dark deeds off and receiving the goodness of God for our life. Verse 13, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And here's the thing, there will always be temptations. When you leave here today, you will be tempted to do things that you probably don't want to do, but the enemy wants to take you to those places so you cannot shine bright for the things of the Lord. So how do we strategize? How do we implement acts of love? The Bible tells us how do we do it. The first strategy that we need to hold on to, and this is vital, is we need to always desire and move into the reality of be a generous person. Because generosity is love in action. See, people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you're generous, you're loving people with action. It's one thing to say to someone, I hope you stay warm today. It's another thing to say to someone, I have a jacket for you to stay warm today. Amen. It's one thing to say, hey, I hope you have a good meal today. I hope you eat well. It's another thing to say, hey, I've got some tacos for you. Generosity is love in action, right? In fact, if you want to practice this week, take a pastor and his wife out for lunch. I'm just saying. Take a meal to a neighbor. Just because, and then give them an invite card. Amen? Let's kind of reiterate, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. Why does God say, owe no one nothing? The simple reason is you can't be generous if you're broke. Amen? And so, Debt causes us to be self-focused, while generosity causes us to focus on others. Are you with me? And so God wants for us to take steps so that we don't get in debt. And the way that you begin to get out of debt is you don't need everything that you want. Because you may need that to be a blessing some other time. And I think that a lot of people want to be a blessing, but they can't because they don't have the means to be able to do that, right? Look at what God says through Paul. He says, if or when you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. So one of the beautiful things about Living Word Chapel, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, exponentially, thank you, Jesus, is that Living Word Chapel is a church. Both campuses are debt-free. So yeah. Now, that's intentionality. That's you have to be intentional to do that. You have to take steps to do that. And you have to take steps to stay there. Are you with me? And so there's always temptations that, you know, if we just do this, if we get this, if we do that. And there's always temptations. But the problem with temptations, if you don't deal with them, is if you're spontaneous and you don't think things through, you do things and you move before God says to move. And you get in debt in doing so. And so the Lord teaches us that when you don't have an immense amount of debt, that you're able to do immense amount of generosity. And our heart is to bring on more missionaries. Our heart is to do more ministry. Our heart is to do all the things that God is calling us to do, to be the neighbor in our communities that brings glory to God. Amen? I love how the Message paraphrase puts verse 8. It says, "Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other." Now that's a good one. So don't get in financial debt, but the debt of love never ends. God wants you to continually love people. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. It's been after us to just love people. God loved you so much that you can never pay back the debt that he paid on the cross. You can never stop loving people, because God loved James Reese so much that he sent his only son so that I would not perish but have everlasting life. I can never pay that back. Until the day that I die, I'm supposed to be loving people. But what if they don't love me? It doesn't matter. What if they talk about me? It doesn't matter. See, that's how you grow in Christ. You grow in Christ when you love people that don't love you. You grow in Christ, oh, be careful, Pastor James, what I'm going to say. You grow in Christ when you love people that don't vote like you. You grow in Christ when people don't live in the same neighborhood. You grow in Christ when you love people that don't have the same sports team that you do. Go Purdue. And someone just said, go Connecticut. But here's the beautiful thing. Yeah, I love it. I love that we have those distinctions, because the commonality that we have is bigger than the things that separate us, and that's Jesus Christ. See, my heart, beloved, my heart is this, and I believe it's God's heart, that this church will be filled with every political party there ever is, and Jesus is a common bond, and Jesus is bringing us together for his glory. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. And I'll tell you something, beloved, that if we cannot love someone from another political party, there's something wrong with our love. I might not love their actions, but I can love them because God created them. And they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you with me? And that is exactly what Jesus does inside of people. There's a debt that we can never repay, and that's the love that God has given to every one of us that is named as Christians, right? It's through generosity that we live a pay-it-forward kind of life. Paying it forward changes people's lives for good. Churches that fund missionaries are paying it forward. Your generosity is not just for us. It's to help someone in the mission field. It's to send people to India. It's to send people to Indonesia, to Iran, to Mexico, Central America, to Africa, wherever, where the gospel will be preached. It's to send people, missionaries, to Detroit, to New York City, to Las Vegas, Nevada, to Tucson, Arizona, which last time I looked is number 8 of the unchurched cities in America. You don't have to go far, but you got to go someplace. And you got to go with the love of God. I was Thursday, I went to Bash's. I went to go get some lunch, and so I was driving up there for Sean and I, and I was driving up there, and here's how that drive started and how that trip finished. I was driving up there, and there was two or three, maybe four DPS officers with their lights on that were coming down the middle of the road on Highway 77, and there was a wide load. So just in case you don't know this, I'm going to explain something important to you. When the lights are on and you're oncoming traffic, you're supposed to pull over and stop and let the whatever is happening with an emergency vehicle for them to move forward and let them have free pass. So I pulled over, another vehicle pulled behind me, and there were about four or five cars. They did not care. They just kept on going. And so, of course, I prayed for them. Lord, smite them. No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. I said, Lord, forgive them. So I got, they passed, and I got to Bash's, and I went there, and I went to the deli to go get us something, and as I go to the deli, there's this young man that's there, and he's kind of looking into space, but the person in the back was not helping him. He was before me, and so he's waiting, and he strikes up a conversation with me, and in that conversation, he says, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to get me some chicken, and I want to get a corn dog. He says, and all I have is change. And I said, oh, okay, all right, cool. So, of course, you're going to be tested, right, because I'm doing a series on acts of love. And so I'm there, and so homie over here says, I just got some change, and I'm going to give me some chicken. And the lady's in the back. She's working, and she's, like, stressed out. And so he walks away, goes to another place, and so the lady comes after she gets done preparing a pizza. I think she was putting a pizza together. So after she gets done flipping and doing all this stuff, she comes and she says, how can I help you? And I said, well, he's first. And so she said, well, it's okay. Well, I'll get you, and then when he comes, I'll help him. So in that time, someone else comes, and so there's two people helping. And so I said, well, give me that chicken special right there. And I'm giving you guys way too much information, but hey, I'm talking, so you know me. I'm taking down, we're going around this bunny trail. And so we're having this conversation, and I say, give me the chicken special. And so she does, and then he gets his order that another lady's taking care of him. So she says, okay, are you ready to pay? I said, yeah. I said, but put that on mine, put that on mine. And so she says, what? Seriously, what? I said, put that on mine. I'll pay for that. And so she said, you want to pay for his meal? I said, yeah, put it on there. And so I paid for his meal, and he said, hey, man, thank you so much. Man, thank you for that. Well, he already had his baggie out with all kinds of change, so he wasn't lying. He was going to pay with change. His baggie out with all kinds of change, so he puts his baggie back. For the next meal, maybe, I don't know. And so he says, dude, thank you so much for that. And he walks away. So she's checking me out, not checking me out like, Not that way. Come on. And so as she's doing that, I notice that she's a cutter. And she hadn't looked at me in the face, and she says, that's so nice of you. Well, when this guy started to walk off, I said, hey bro, God loves you. That's the most important thing. And so she's in the registry, and I see her arms, and I said, but more importantly, God loves you. He loves you. She looked at me, and she just went, that's so nice. And I got my food, and I just felt this amazing rush of joy that filled me. And I did not have a stinking you're invited card. Your pastor was not carrying the card that you need. And I walked out. This is a true account. And I'm walking out of the store, and the guy that picks up all the baskets, this young man, is kicking the baskets. They're knocked over, and he's kicking them. And this is all one day. And I'm walking out, and he's kicking the baskets. I say, "Hey, bro, I said, having a hard day, huh?" He said, "Yeah." And so I help him pick up the baskets. And he says, "God bless you." And I said, "Yeah, God is good, brother. Have a great day. God loves you." And I left. And so the Lord allows opportunities in our lives continuously. You see, there will always be opportunities for us to love people. And then I started thinking, it's a lot bigger than what I could ever imagine. That one guy that was there, he wasn't like dressed all shabby. He didn't have, you know, these clothes that were dirty. He was dressed decent. And I started processing that, you know. And I was thinking, "Lord, did you place this guy there not just for me, but for her?" Do we miss it sometimes when we're generous that we think that it's because of this person when it's really for another person? See, that other person that for some reason is hurting herself maybe has never seen an act of love lived out. Maybe she's been abused. Maybe she's been violated. Maybe all these things that have gone on in her life, and she's never seen an act of love just worked out and lived out. So maybe, just maybe, God placed that person with change just for that person that was in the back. Are you with me? And as you guys begin to process that the reality, look at what Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. Now, when you think about my story and you read this, it's going to change everything. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. You want your world to get bigger, be generous. You want it to be bigger than yourself. You want it to be bigger than your family. You want it to be bigger than just everything about you. Be generous to other people. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Why? Because it's all about you. It's all about your family. It's all about what's in it for you. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Let me tell you something. I have not felt what I felt that day ever. I've never felt that in receiving gifts for myself. I have never felt by buying things for myself. I have never felt what I felt whenever I was able to be a blessing to somebody else. It says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. And you can't be generous without action. You got to take steps to be generous. And don't be generous just to the people that you care about or the people that look like you. Go to people that you would never possibly be helping out if it wasn't for God telling you, be there for them. And how about spontaneous generosity? How about there's a lot of ways that you can think about generosity. What if you're in line at Starbucks, or you're in line at Dutch Bros, and maybe you're in the thing, and you say, "You know what? Go ahead and put the ticket of the person behind me on me, and then maybe just leave a card, and just say God loves you," because see, this could change your life forever. Here's what I know for sure: that Jesus can change people's lives forever, right? Random acts of love reveal a God of action. Do not get locked up and try to orchestrate God's love. What you need to do is just say, "Lord God, let me discern your love working in my day. Let me recognize the people that you have put there for me to love," right? You can just pay it forward. Here's strategy number two. Why does the time always go so fast? Don't look at the time. But back there, they're going like this. They're going like, no, they're not. Strategy number two, don't wrong others. Don't wrong others. Verse 10 says, love does no wrong to others. Love fulfills the requirements of God's law. And when I look at this verse, it means everybody. It's not a pick and choose Bible verse. A great way to love people is don't wrong them. And God gives us a blueprint in the law to help us in the Ten Commandments how we will guard ourselves from wronging people. First, he says, do not commit adultery. So if you have, stop. If you're contemplating an affair, don't go there. God is speaking to you today. Don't do it. He's speaking to you if you're watching online. He's saying don't go there because there seems a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end it leads to destruction. It leads to death. And so here's what I want you to know. The reason God says don't do that is because you're going to wrong a lot of people in the process. Now, some of us have a past. Remember last week I talked about, can he do that? After all he's done. We have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To go, if you've gone there in the past, what I'm saying right now is don't go there anymore. Amen? You're not that person anymore. How about the second thing? He tells us, do not kill. Don't murder people. If you have, stop. Don't do it this week. And surely don't shoot your pastor. He says, don't steal. If you have, it's time to stop. Right? Look at what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Apparently, we're going to see from Scripture, being kleptomaniacs or thievery is a problem. It happens. It's like a demon that can get on you. Look what Paul says. He says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Paul said exactly what I did. Quit stealing. I'm saying exactly what Paul said. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And then, look what it says. And then give generously to others in need. You see how it goes together? If you covet, stop it. Stop. This is a hard one for all of us. We want the new truck next door. We want the pickleball paddle that someone has and that you can put spin on. We want the golf club that's going to hit the ball, 40 yards further, but they're lying to you because you're going to hit it 40 yards less. Right? Don't gossip. If you gossip about people, stop it. Start praying for them instead. I love the way that Nikki Gumbel put it. A lot of problems in the world would be solved if we talk to each other instead of talking about each other. So if you're talking about the pastor, stop it. Stop. Okay, here's the last strategy, which I love, and this is beautiful because one of our elders this morning, he didn't even... He hadn't heard about what the message was going to be about, and he talked about loving people with urgency. Rob Walker, God was speaking right to you, bro, because it's in our outline. Strategy number three is love people with urgency. Paul says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now that when we first believed. This is a don't delay mentality and attitude. You'll never get yesterday back. You don't get 8 o'clock in the morning of today back. Let's make today count. Amen? Let's not leave things undone. The Apostle Peter put it like this. I love this scripture. The end of the world is coming soon. So Peter and all the apostles live like it could end today. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. You want to have your sins covered? Walk in the love of God. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. My wife and I would love a meal.
Just write it on an orange card.
Orange card.
We'll be there.
Pastor, you look like if you're famished. Your ribs are popping out. You look real hungry. Verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Every one of you is gifted, and that gift is not given to you so you can sit on it on your seat every Sunday and not do anything. Everyone should be doing something for the glory of God. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, and all glory and power to him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, we have about 300-350 people that come to church on Sundays. What if these 300 people were to go out and serve together this week? What if 300 people went and put action to the love of God? I think our world would be a better place. And we have many more that watch online. What if this week you took it upon yourself to put the love of God into action and make a difference in our world? Let's do it together. Be ready to be challenged. Be ready to love people that you thought you could never love, and see what God does, not only in them, see what God does in you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you call us to be people of action. We thank you, Lord God, that the greatest thing we could ever do is to love you. And with that, Lord God, you call us to love other people. Holy Spirit, work through us. If you're here today and you just want the work of God, just raise your hands with me. Just Holy Spirit, work through us. Work in our hearts. Work in our minds. Work in our soul. Holy Spirit, use us to be your vessels. We'll be very careful to give you all the glory. And next week, as we come in through the doors of the church, Lord, let us come in with great go-gods testimonies of what Jesus has done. And we pray this in his name, and all of God's people said amen and amen.
This has been a message from Living Word Chapel. We hope that you've been blessed by it. Make sure you check out lwcoracle.org for more information.